You're listening to the Starving Artists Blog Podcast, dedicated to helping artists like you do what you love and get paid for it. Hi, and welcome to Starving Artists Blog Podcast. This is episode 8. I'm Stephanie Toland.
And I'm Mark Toland.
We're coming back after a 2-week break, so hope everyone's doing well.
Yeah, it's good to be back. You know, we've been very busy.
Yeah, very busy. What's been going on, Mark?
I have been writing a show. I think a few weeks ago we kind of touched on that. I worked on a show. We had a friend here, and then that went into your midterms, and then went into your spring break, which you're just finishing, and that is kind of why we've been MIA for a couple weeks.
Right. Well, it's always hard having somebody in your space.
A house guest,
and it takes up more time and energy than I think you know you realize. And also, midterms for me, and the cancellation of our New York trip, and then we've been working hard pretty much all spring break. For me, I didn't really get a break, but
Well, you used it to do things you haven't been able to do.
To do other projects that I've been putting off.
Good use of your time. It's been fun. Yeah. I've enjoyed having you home for a change.
Yeah, I mean, it's been nice to not have any other obligations and to just sort of channel my energies into whatever I want.
Right. Yeah, it's a good thing to take advantage of that time when you finally have a chance to be not obligated by things you don't want to spend your time doing, to use it for you use it to be super creative. You've been organizing the apartment. We made a video. We cleaned the office, like all kinds of things. So.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Yeah, I did a serious dose of spring cleaning.
Serious.
Yeah, very serious. I mean, we got rid of probably 1,000 things, small items, sold, donated, and threw away probably close to 1,000 things to clean this place up. And
that it may sound crazy to listeners, but when you live in like, you know, I don't know, we probably have listeners who live in a city and understand, but if you don't live in a city, you don't even begin to understand until you are in this kind of small confined space, because we thought we were good and then we threw away all those things. We're like, why do we even have this? Just things in the middle of nowhere.
And the reason that we're talking about it at all is because I remember my grandma always used to give this advice like a long time ago to my mom, and she would say, you know, if you wake up in the morning and the kitchen's clean and you've done the dishes, like, you won't wake up in tears every morning frustrated. You'll just wake up and start your day. And so that's sort of the reason that I started this whole spring cleaning project, was because I've been so busy and so frustrated that I don't want to waste my time cleaning and doing laundries and dishes and all these tasks that I hate doing. I don't want to waste my time, because I'd rather be doing creative projects, you know, getting my homework out of the way, and then taking pictures and, you know, doing video projects with you and writing and all these other things that I want to spend my time on. And I cannot emphasize this enough. When the house is clean, when things are organized, and there's like a blank space, the possibilities just are endless. Like, you wake up I wake up and I go and I see like an empty countertop, and I'm like, what can I make?
Right.
Instead of, oh, I have to do, like, I have to do all of this. And
well, because just, creativity is something that is not defined. You don't do creativity between the hours of 10 and 2 every day or something. So you need everything else to be set in stone. You need to have your daily routine of like your exercise and your eating and your sleep schedule or something, if possible, as close as you can. So you have, you know, not too many things that change. Yeah. So then you have the ability to be flexible and create. Cause, you know, what we do, we woke up yesterday actually and made a really cool video. Maybe we should share it on the blog or something. We could do that, because it's just a cool project we did. And it's kind of, it's not necessarily related to Starving Artists, but it's what we did with our time. And it was just out of nowhere. But I think we both felt like we could tackle something because of the work and, you know, most credit goes to you because you really transformed our place.
Yeah.
But when it's like that, you can create, you know?
I just had this overwhelming sense of I have to get rid of everything because I'm feeling bogged down. Because all of those spare moments then are when I do have a second to do something creatively, that time is occupied by other obligations.
Right. And now you don't have anything looming.
Right. And so now that everything, all surfaces are clear, we've gotten rid of extra furniture we don't need. We have access to all of our, equipment easily. It makes it so much easier to just pull something out, use it, put it back. And suddenly we've maximized our time and made our space conducive to creativity and art.
It's all about removing distractions, and it could be cleaning out your inbox, cleaning the desktop of your computer, or the desktop of your actual desk, whatever that is. Getting distractions out so that when you're like, I'm going to sit down and write or paint or write a show or whatever,
it rehearse. It looks different for everyone. I think I shared something this past week on SAB. It was 100 artists' workspaces. And
on Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter and Facebook. And it photos of these 100 different artists, actual studio spaces and what that looks like for them.
Cool.
And just like artists in general, it's always unique. And what works for us doesn't work for everyone. I think it's all about having your stuff organized in a way that works for you and having access to it all. And so it might not be pristine and totally clean, but it works for you.
Right. Maybe this is because we tackled the office yesterday specifically, but I think also functionality is a big part of that. Yeah, for artists, but even for a chef or a graphic designer or anything in between.
Having what you need where you need it within arm's reach so that you can access it quickly and use it. And I mean, the even minimizing the rest of our apartment has made me go out into the kitchen and say, what do I want to cook? What do I want to do today? Not this sense of burden and obligation.
Right.
I have to make dinner, and that bums me out because that means doing 6 loads of dishes and whatever.
Do you need an appliance on the counter that you use once every 2 weeks? No, things like that. It's same in the office now. We put things away that have been sitting out.
And you said you felt this morning, all my work coming,
so fulfilling.
So fulfilling that Mark woke up and when he was opening the door to the office had this sense of what am I going to do today? And open the office and it's clean and it's ready to be used for
I feel like I could creativity. Appreciate the office. And to be fair, we're not the messiest people, but we had we built this enormous table in Florida when we lived there. It was 8 feet long and it was perfect for our home in Florida. But then, naively thought we could cram it into a Chicago apartment. So we've desperately tried to sell it for probably going on a year and finally sold it 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave us the flexibility to finally tackle the office. It was taking half of our office easily.
Yeah.
So
it made it
it obscured the window.
There's nothing worse than not being able to get to the things that you need.
Yeah. And that's a great point. If your desktop is cluttered and you need things underneath there, if your inbox is full, all those little things, or as big as your entire apartment,
that's crucial. They discourage you from it. The kitchen discouraged me from cooking. The how inaccessible my camera equipment was, how hard it was to take out and put away. Kept me from wanting to get it out and use it to do any projects. And I think the same could be said for you. It was a nightmare to get in here and take photos or do a project. I mean, the desktop, everything. It's just when things are where they need to be, you can just focus on creating. And so so that's my big thing right now is sort of minimizing the rest of my life, making it simple, easy to clean, and easy to keep organized so that I can focus on the things that I actually really care about.
Right.
Which is art and creating. Right. So.
And Starving Artist Blog is something we care about. But unfortunately, you know, like it had to go to the back burner because right. of it, partly because of having someone here, partly because of this, the overwhelming amount of clutter that just is accumulated from me taking so many trips. I come back, I empty my bag, I repack, I go, and next thing you know, just stuff everywhere. I'm back for 2 days and I have to go through right. a ton of documents and they just get left in a stack because I'm in a hurry. So hopefully we've solved a lot of those problems, but you know, sadly because of that, we lost traction, but we're yeah, not.
Well, that's a perfect like lead in into another topic that I want to touch on. So we have received some really great feedback from listeners, and we got one email from Shannon over at the Introvert Collective.
Hi, Shannon.
And yeah, and she sent a lovely email, and we and I sent one back, and she asked for us to touch on, you know, she's like, if you've covered it before, I apologize, but I'd love to hear how you guys, you know, maintain your balance when it comes to your artistic projects, work, life, whatever. And that is, I wrote a blog about it briefly, but I'd like to talk about it some
I
more.
Think you have a great take on this, and this is perfect because of us kind of being not absent necessarily, but we had to prioritize, and unfortunately Starving Artist sure. wasn't included in that.
Yeah. So yeah. So I think that here are my thoughts on this subject. I feel like balance is something that is talked about a lot, and there's a lot of information about it and how to achieve the perfect balance between whatever you're doing. And I read a lot of it, and I just kind of feel like it's not realistic advice because. My take on balance is that, you know, you do what you can in the areas that you're focusing on, and then when other areas start to suffer, you have to shift your focus and change your priorities and go and work on those. And so I feel like we've talked about this before. Like it's like spinning plates. You have all these plates in the air and you're just trying to keep all of them up at the same time. And sometimes you have way too many and it's really hard and you're really stretched.
And some require more attention than others.
Yeah, and some, yeah.
Some exactly. are about to fall and others are doing fine. And it's the ones that fall that get the most of your time. Mm-hmm. And then the others you kind of let sit
you
for a
let
while.
Let sit for a while. And so for instance, right now I feel like I'm balancing way too many things. I'm in school. I'm trying to do this, this Starving Artist blog project with you. We are taking photos. Like I'm doing a bunch of different things that pull my focus in a lot of different areas. And I know that I'm not doing all of them to the best of my abilities right now. But I also know that there's an end date to school. And so I tell Mark all the time, I'm like, you just have to bear with me and help me through May of 2016, and then it's over. My graduate education is done, and I can help you on whatever you need help with next. But you have to help me pull the weight right. until then. And
you've done that for me before.
And I've done that for Mark, definitely, on different projects where it's like, I just have to get through this date, so I'm really sorry. But you have to pull 75% right. while I give 25% this time.
I think when the week I gave the TED talk, I was in panic mode and you just calmly and patiently listened and helped me rewrite and let me rehearse for you. And you were probably so aggravated, but it kind of consumed our life for a yeah. week. That's my best example right now off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Or even having a guest here, like you said, a house guest. But yeah, right now with your school and You know, SAB, and you also, like, we also have some other little projects. You're just, like, doing photos, random projects, a wedding, headshots here and there, you know, right. and kind of squeezing all these things in.
Right. So I guess,
tricky.
Yeah, so I guess my point is that balance to me is not a 50-50, you have equal weight on all things at all times.
Right.
It really is that, like, that right now while I'm in grad school, I am expecting you to pull the majority of the weight and I'll give what I can. And then in other areas, I'm bringing, you know, for grad school, for instance, I'm devoting a big chunk of my time to that.
Right.
So it's all these different amounts of balance. You're balancing, you know, 10% and 90%. It's not 50-50.
Yeah.
So I hope that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense. I think that's why this is such a good take on it, because there's these, you know, gurus of motivation and self-help that claim you can achieve perfect balance and all these things.
Oh, yeah, you can have perfect family life, the perfect work life, and still have time to do this. And, like, honestly, sometimes the gym takes the back burner and you miss your workout. Sometimes your family suffers while you're doing a big work project. Other times your work suffers while you devote your energy to your family. And I guess I'm just saying, like, that's okay. Do what you can and stop beating yourself up over not having this ideal balance in all areas.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't think it's sustainable.
You know, kind of in tandem with that, I read this interesting thing, and not to go off on too big of a tangent, but it was about this ideal for entrepreneurs, right? How entrepreneurs are supposed to wake up at 5 and hit the gym and read 3 books in a day and achieve all this, and then, you know, go to the gym again and do all these things. And there's certain things that are kind of preached out there about what entrepreneurs do and how they're supposed, and the best and most successful do this. And the great thing was that this I think it was a girl who wrote this, and you know, if they hear this and I'm wrong, my apologies, I just don't remember because this was unplanned, but the main thing of it was they panicked halfway through this, saying, I'm none of those things. I don't wake up early. I'm a night owl, and I don't go to the gym in the morning. I go, like, during my lunch break or whatever, you know, and I do the complete opposite of all the things entrepreneurs are supposed to do. And then at the bottom, it's like, but that's okay. And that kind of reminds me of, like, this balance thing in a way, because, you know, so what, you know, someone who's able to perfectly balance everything, that's a misnomer, you know, an anomaly in this. Like, the majority of people have to prioritize and set something kind of to the side until they can get to it and regain focus. And the same is true with entrepreneurship. Like, if you're a night owl, great, do your work at night. If you work if you work sporadically throughout the day, that's how you do it. Because like Steph said, no one studio is the same. No one artist is the same. We're just trying to tell you what we do from our experience and hopefully encourage you to find what works for you.
Yeah, I guess just don't be discouraged if your schedule or your, like, if you feel like everything is sort of floundering right now because you're not happy with your creative projects and your family life is not doing so hot either, and you're like, I feel like those are all normal things, and you just work on what you can when you can, and sort of by letting yourself off the hook to not have this perfect balance alone, just like, it frees up energy to then devote to your pursuits.
And, you know, and there's so much bad advice out there about that, and there's so much social media kind of hanging over us at all times of these things, of these incredible achievements and these incredible people who knock it off the list. And I feel like social media, you really only see the good or the very bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see people share the worst, and then they share their best. And that doesn't help anything. So that's something to remember to not take that into account, to be the best version of you. You had this really great thing that you told me lately. You said, what was it about having your best? What's your best day? What's the best thing you could imagine? Remember? How does that go?
It was my good friend Kalina. So she's been reading some book, and it was saying how if you thought of your best day and just said what your best day was. So, like, for instance, I think I told Mark that one of my best days would be probably eating a good meal somewhere with a beautiful view on a lovely day with, like, a book to read. And maybe I was somewhere new. Maybe I was in a different city or something like that. But the point is that my perfect day was so simple. So we try to achieve all of these really big goals in our lives,
right.
And we try to do all these amazing things, but when it comes down to it, what actually like matters to us is pretty simple.
Right.
We have simple pleasures.
It made me think of social media. Seeing this is why I thought of it, because you see the best that everyone does, and it's pressure, like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not doing this. But you forget they're not sharing the humdrum. They're not sharing their normal day. They're when they have an achievement, they're sharing it. They're sharing like their top success. But when you think your best day, you realize that book and that cup of coffee and a nice meal. Or for me, I said like just going out with you for a day and exploring. Sometimes we just go in the city or a road trip,
yes,
or something.
It's as mundane as like walking into a bookstore and eating lunch. And
that's success.
Those are our favorite days together. And it's important to remember when you get sort of trapped in the cycle of I have to be producing great work and putting myself out there and achieving all of these top-notch goals. Like at the end of the day, it really, you know, it matters to an extent, but, you know, it's the simple things that sort of keep us going day
right.
after day.
Well, I compare myself to others all the time. Also, you know, I am in a competitive field where I have to try to, you know, separate myself from other people. So it's hard not to do that. But I've been thinking of that lately. I really like it because it helps me remember that success isn't defined by an achievement or whatever, because my best possible day is something that isn't an achievement. It isn't any of that. It is just a fun time with you wherever we are doing something new and exciting. And if I'm doing that on a day, like yesterday, cleaning the office and making a video, that's my best day. That was awesome. I think that's success. That's balance.
Sure.
That's important. That is
good balance. That's a good, you know, when that's a good thing to, I think, keep people going. It's important to have things to strive for and goals to reach for, but not letting them consume you, not letting the achievement of the goal be that, like, you know, what's that cheesy, like, it's not the destination, it's the journey. Yeah,
it's very cheesy, but it's true.
But it is true. It's all the, we can't get so caught up in where we want to be that we don't like take stock of where we are and enjoy where we are.
Sometimes in my corporate show, I make a joke about this. I say, this is, you know, something I did in my TED talk, whatever. Everyone's like, ooh, you gave a TED talk. You know, there's like a murmur in the audience. And then I'm like, have you guys ever achieved a goal only to realize it wasn't that big of a deal? And it gets a huge laugh. And I talk about how I built up this TED thing and stressed out it. And then I went there. And it was just another thing, you know, in my mind, TED's this lofty thing. And I got there and it was nothing. Like I was over-prepared and over-delivered and I didn't need to. I could have walked in and, you know, improvised. And I think when you keep that in mind, it helps you to remember that you should really just enjoy the process and the journey, because
right.
when you get there,
yeah,
it might be a letdown.
It's nice to, it's, it, well, that's how, I feel like that's, it's always the buildup. It's always the excitement for the trip. It's always the excitement for the big goal that you're going to finally accomplish. And then you kind of get to the end and you're like, you shrug and you're like, okay, that, I guess that was cool, or I guess that was fun, but...
Yeah.
You know, I think you're glad that you did the TED talk, but I think like all things, it sort of, it isn't as big of a deal as you sort of build it up in your head, like when you're little.
Right.
And that leads me to like, even just thinking about when I was little, what I thought a career in dance looked like.
Right.
And how it's so different from what I thought it was going to look like that at times I feel like I didn't make it, that I haven't made it, whatever that meant when I was a little girl making it, that I haven't somehow accomplished that. And it sort of makes, I get this feeling like, did I not try hard enough? Did I not, what did I not do? But I have to remember that, like, when I, you know, this idea that I had wasn't really a reality. And that making it, so to speak, in the arts can look like a lot of different things.
And a career in dance can look like a lot of things.
Yeah,
a career in magic.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It doesn't, not everybody, like, very few people, you know, especially in dance, which is going through a really hard time right now. In fact, one of my favorite dance companies just announced that they are shutting down. And that it was really sad to see. And it's, you know, the landscape of dance is changing so much that it really is hard, and very few dancers can get a salaried position in a dance company dancing. Like, there are so few slots available, and I think you could say the same for what you do. Like, there are very few people who just get to be famous on TV doing their magic tricks for people or whatever.
Sure.
But
there are hundreds of successful magicians, mind readers, you know, variety acts that the general public will never hear about, who make a great living, are very successful, and they are performing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I am right now. I mean, I'd probably like a little more recognition if we're being completely honest, but that doesn't really matter when you get down to it. Success isn't just on TV or the top name that everyone knows.
And I think that, you know, for me, I had this vision of I'm going to dance in a company and someone's going to pay me to do it. And that was the ultimate goal. And it has turned out very differently. I have had the privilege to dance in a dance company. It wasn't a salaried position, but it was a lot of fun. I have great friends from that experience still. I do freelance projects, and my love for dance and art in general, you know, that includes writing and photography and video projects and everything, has come together to create Starving Artist Blog, which I am very passionate about. And I'm passionate about the artist's journey in general. So that to me is making it as a dancer.
Sure.
Now I've had to redefine what that looks like. And just because I'm not in class every single day auditioning for dance companies, like I kind of thought that I would be doing, it's changed, but I still feel like I've been successful.
Right. It's all about embracing that change. It's all about being open to knowing that whatever vision you have, path you're on, you know, future you're pursuing is going to evolve and transform. And if you don't, you know, embrace that, that winding route you're going to go on, then it's going to hinder your success in some way. I think, like, we were talking about this in a different thing, in that, like, we know people who don't embrace changes in, like, technology, changes in, like, how business practices go, and they're just stopped dead in their tracks because they didn't do that. And if you had said, well, I'm not auditioning, I'm not doing the things that everyone does, I just give up, you wouldn't be sitting here saying you're successful. But you're kind of, you know, you realized you weren't an auditioning, really like take tons of class kind of person, because you're going back to school, you're pursuing several things. So you kind of let it come to you over time. And next thing you know, you had a lot of projects, and that is still successful. And that was you embracing that and letting it kind of occur, you know, organically and naturally, and mesh with your personality. That's something we talk about all the time. So
yeah,
I think it's good. I'm doing the same thing. You've helped me. Like, I want things to happen quicker. I know. Yeah. I do, but you can't force it. It's a push pull. You
right.
know,
and I put in what, so much of this, so much of you know, when you think of like the massive success that artists have, I feel like a lot of it is a perfect storm of timing, who they know, at what time they fit the part, and they had the right thing to perform or show at the right time. Like, it really is, like, you can't sit down and go, okay, here's my path to starring in a TV show or whatever. Like if, for instance, for you, for like doing a special on TV for mind reading or magic or whatever. There's not, you know, you can do things to improve your chances of getting those opportunities, for sure.
Right.
But you can, I feel like there are certain things you just can't guarantee that you're going to get a certain amount of recognition. You just have to keep creating and hope that, and, you know, keep opening doors and be ready to embrace it when it happens with open arms. But
One of my favorite performers.
It's not a set career path. You're not just working your way up the ladder.
Right. One of my favorite performers always says that success equals time plus energy, which I love that, because you can put in all the energy you want, But then if you're just like, well, I killed it for like months and nothing happened. Well, maybe it hasn't had enough time. Or you can sit and wait and then be like, nothing happened. Maybe you weren't putting in enough energy.
That's great.
I love that combination of things. You know,
it's true because you just have to keep. And I tell you this when you're discouraged and saying, you know, I haven't reached whatever I want to reach by now. And I remind you that you're still young. You've only been going at it for however long, and there's no choice but to keep going. So just be open to it. Be ready. Like you always say, like an overnight success is like 15 years in the making.
Right. I shared something on our Facebook fan page earlier, and it was people who found success much later in life. Mm-hmm. And I always love hearing that, not just because I'm not doing it with like, oh, there's still a chance for me, like disappointingly, as much as I'm doing it because success comes at various times. Some as, you know, Justin Bieber age, and some like Lucille Ball was really middle age when she went into I Love Lucy, and she's like one of both of our heroes, you know. Like, I love those stories because you can't, you summed it up perfectly. You can't pinpoint success. You mm-hmm. can't,
or you can't say by the time I'm 30, you can have
goals,
mile
like
markers
that.
And goals.
Sure.
But I think being able to embrace when they haven't happened quite like you wanted them to, that's not a failure, especially in this, you know, sort of wild business.
You can't force it.
You can't say if I haven't gotten this by the time I'm 30.
Right.
Because it might happen when you're 31. It might happen when you're 35.
Of course.
So you just have to keep going.
But that, you know, that's 6 years ago, we wanted to change the world with art, and it took us being out in the real world and doing that to realize all those things. And that's another good thing that we were open to that transformation of our artistic pursuits. And we've also we've opened up to tons of things. I'm sure we'll touch on this in future podcasts, but like in 2 weeks of working with my best friend to write a show, I realized I want to like work some different elements in the show that I've been kind of holding out and some other things. And that's just like, me like embracing my feelings of art and not being closed off to things and doing that. And these transformations mm-hmm. are happening in our living situation. We parted with a very special table and some other things in our starving artists. We're focused on certain areas over others. Like all these things are crucial. And
right.
I'm sure we'll get to that in the future.
Reevaluating your relationship with your art is important. And for me, that's changed because the style of dance that I really like to do, I've realized is so hard to come by, and I don't enjoy watching a lot of it. So I don't know how I expected back when I was lofty with my ideals about what kind of dance I wanted to do, how I was going to find it and who was going to watch it. Because if I don't even want to watch it a lot of the time, you know, how could I expect an audience to be available to pay me to watch it?
That's part of the problem with me, right? My I was trying to be so intellectual and thought-provoking because I'm a very cerebral kind of person, and I want to make like high lofty art and, like I said, change the world and all these things. And I realized like maybe my audience just wants to see an amazing trick in 30 seconds and applaud. And
yeah.
So you kind of like you have to kind of be open to commercialization if you want to make a living. And then kind of sneak in a couple artsy things every
right.
once in a while.
And yeah, so for me, it was like, well, if I don't want to watch this and it's hard to come by, then, you know, I don't know. I've realized that like it's dancing to me is fun and it feels good and it's a very natural thing for me. And so I'm not as like, I don't know. I don't know what the right word is to describe, but I just feel a lot more open to just enjoying it as something that I find beautiful and fun. But yeah, I'm not as like, you know, set on doing this one type of dance.
Right.
Anymore.
I guess if you are, you know, you get to the end of your time as an artist and retire or you know, the end of your life or something, and you look back and you're like, oh, I didn't get to make the kind of art I want and all those things. Well, that's like, to really sum up what we're saying, like, that's not the best way to look at it. It's really like, you got to make art, you know, like, you got to create and being open to like a wide range of things. Like, you're like, you have so many cool, we won't even touch on them yet until you do it, but you have so many cool dance ideas. You have so many cool photography ideas. We're making videos and fun right. things now. And me, like, I'm doing magic in the show, I'm mind reading, juggling, all kinds of crazy things. Like, if you're open to all those things, you're an artist and you're a success and you're embracing change and sure. transformation. Yeah. That's another good quote. That's a Penn and Teller quote. A bad day of show business beats a good day of serving tables. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. Yeah. I love that. Oh, is it bad because you did some commercial stuff? Is it bad because you didn't get to do the art you wanted? At least you're not serving tables. At least you're not a bartender. Could be a lot worse. You know, we get to mm-hmm. do something really fun. Create, share, inspire, you know, yeah. captivate an audience. We get to entertain and let people forget their troubles for 30 minutes, an hour or something. And that's sure. important.
And yeah, and it really is a privilege. And we try to remind ourselves of that because, you know, sometimes you
lose sight of that.
Sometimes it becomes work. It becomes a chore that you have to travel. And I know that you get exhausted from flying and doing all these things. And you complain to me sometimes. And I remind you, like, you're very lucky to get to be on the road and right. travel and perform and do something that a lot of people only dream of doing.
Right.
And I have to remind myself of that as well. And yeah, I always thought I would do concert dance in a theater on a proscenium stage, and it would be modern and abstract and amazing, and I would love it. But I find myself, you know, wanting to do video projects, and I still dance all the time. I just don't do it the way that I used to. I don't do it in a studio, in a class. You know, I don't do it on stage as frequently, but it's still
in the living room.
Mostly in the living room.
We should turn that into a proscenium, and then it would solve everything.
Yeah, but it just, you know, things change over time, and your relationship with your art changes over time, and it's not a bad thing, and it doesn't make you.
Well, you love it, but you just do the parts of it that make it fun, and that's good, and you know that's what's important, and you're very, very good at enjoying that process and journey, you know, and just appreciating where you are and what you're doing. And you know, I'm lucky to be here and share that with you, so that's yeah. very fun.
But yeah, anyway,
I love talking about it. I like I said this morning when I opened the door, I felt so inspired and encouraged because I swung the door open and I could, that table wasn't in the way, and we you know, we got rid of so many things that when you really, there were so many things that I was like, I'm going to use that. And I haven't used it in a year. It's like, okay, I'll get rid of it until I'm going to need it, and I'll buy it again or borrow it again. And, you know, I opened the door, and for the first time, I feel like I really saw the view out the window, and I felt the cool air coming in, and just, you know, I'm encouraged and inspired to do so many different things. I think, right. you know, you said dancers on a proscenium stage and all those things, like, there are radio celebrities who do podcasts now, and that wasn't a thing 20 years ago. And there's movie stars on YouTube, and there's TV shows on live stream. Like, all these mediums didn't exist. And right, if you sit right now and you sit right, if you sit right now and you say, my goal is to be a TV mind reader or whatever, that might not even exist in 20 years. That's why you have to be open to change. That's why you right. have to be, you know, you could be a dance celebrity. You don't want to do this, but by filming your living room dances and your silly walks and all these fun things you do, that could be a thing. And I'm saying that superfluously because I know that's not something you want to do, but that could be success in a way you never dreamed 20 years ago. Right. And if you didn't open yourself up to the ever kind of evolving technology, culture, everything around us, you want to sure. be able to find success.
Yeah, and I feel like that's part of the reason that the inspiration for this blog and podcast came about was because I felt like in my college education, these teachers who had a career as dancers back you know, back whenever they had them, you know, they have to get their master's and, you know, and they've been teaching for several years, sometimes over a decade. And so when they give you kind of this advice about here's what it looks like, you know, it is not what it looks like anymore at all, because what it looked like in the 1980s is no longer the landscape for dancing. The auditioning is not the same. The styles are not the same. You know, they sort of say, go out there and you're going to get a job doing something else while you audition. Right. And then you'll land something.
Right.
But, like, you know, it doesn't look like that for hardly anyone.
Right. A few months ago, I joined a new social media network or something. And someone was like, why do you join that? Why do you do that? And I was like, well, because, you know, if it takes off and does something, I'm going to have to open myself up to that, because you have to stay in front of people. You have to stay abreast of what's happening and what's coming. And you have to do that in everything. That's why I try to stay up on what's happening in my field. That's why we share like the cutting edge news stories so people can read them, because that's an important aspect of knowing what's going off and not closing yourself off and pretending that your art is going to stay where you picture it, you know, for 10 years from this day, 20 years from this day or something.
Right. It can take many different forms. You know, a dancer could become a dance historian, and that's a success. And or a dancer could become, you know, an arts manager, or there are all these different fields that you can go into that are related to what you do.
Right.
Where you can contribute and make a difference and be a successful artist.
Did you see about the celebrities and their domain names? Did you read about that?
I hadn't read about
that. Okay, I shared this, but, you know, we share so much, it's hard to discuss off air all of these. But this is a really good one, because it's about this. It's about being open to what's coming, embracing it, and getting there first or as quickly as you can. So they're opening up specialty domain names, and some of them are going to be .porn. And so, you know, I don't know what other ones are going to be, but .biz, .gov, .org, those have existed. Now they're opening specialty ones. So celebrities, and the headline was about Taylor Swift, have been buying up all related domain names. So they're opening them to the celebrities first and people who have a brand or something, so they can control their image. And, you know, we don't talk about controlling image and things like that. We're really just talking about making a living. But the lesson of getting out there first and being, you know, aware of what's happening is a good one, because if you aren't, it could backfire and cost you in the long run. And I really liked reading that, because it was interesting to see that they have, you know, she's got a management team looking out for her and doing that. And, you know, there are simple things you can do by reading Google News and having certain sections of news you read, so you're aware, like, oh, this is a change, I should push in this direction or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I shared that on Facebook and Twitter, I think, worth reading, other things on there, and pretty good. We are on Twitter, speaking of, I should probably mention that, at @sartsblog,
mm-hmm.
and Facebook/ Starving Artist Blog, and it's Instagram as well. But, you know, whatever is your social network of choice, join us on there and keep the conversation going.
And we also want to talk about some exciting things to come. We have opened up a Patreon account.
Right.
So you can find us on patreon.com/starvingartistsblog. And it's a great sort of, it's a crowdfunding site, because we fund this out of pocket to bring you content, and we enjoy doing it. We're happy to do it. We're going to continue to do it. But yeah, we're opening up so that if you have a dollar to spare, send it our way, because it does cost us to host the podcast, to host the website, and to devote time to this. So we're not asking for much, but we would love for you guys to help us help you. So you can head over there and read about that.
Right. We entered this expecting nothing, but we thought we'd put it out there because we do get occasional tweets and emails of people wanting to help in some way. And we've even had friends in Chicago contact us and say how much they enjoy it. So if you feel Like you want to help and submit something, $1, $2, yeah. Because yeah, it just takes. About,
yeah. If we had 100 listeners donate $1 a month, that would be our goal. And we would be able to cover all of our costs. And that includes, you know, upfront costs for our podcasting equipment and, you know, future upgrades to keep bringing you guys, inspiring content. So
right, that'll be on, it's on Facebook, it's on other places, and it's not that big of a deal. If you can't send a dollar, don't worry about it. We're gonna keep doing this whether you guys do or not, and we're happy to do it. But we thought we'd put it out there because this is a community and we want to help you and give you the chance to help us help you. Thank you in advance for listening, for helping, for supporting. We can't do this without you guys, and we want to keep talking with you and to you. What else we got coming up?
We are going to start doing, I'm really excited about this. We're going to start doing artist profiles. So we want to hear from artists living, working, and making money from their craft, from their art. So we're just going to open it up. If you guys want to be featured, shoot us an email, info@starvingartistsblog.com.
Or tweet or whatever.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we're basically just going to, it's going to be like a short questionnaire, you know, just a little Q&A to dive into the life of an artist. And we want people from all over, all different artists, like people who, sculptors, whatever.
Different time zones, different genres, different countries. We don't care. We just want to, we want to show what like the studios and the artists we mentioned earlier, we want to show what our listeners look like, the kind of palette of people that make up the Starving Artist community. And this was Stephanie's idea, and it's a great idea. And
I'm really excited about it because I think that it can be really inspiring, especially when like for someone like me and especially in the digital age, I would search for what it would look like for me. Growing up, like I knew that I wanted to dance and do art and whatever, but it was really hard to find like role models that I could see, like, what does their life look like? How are they making it? What does it look like? I want to know. And I couldn't find anything. Like, it's either people are just wildly successful and are dancing in world renowned dance companies, or you don't hear about that. Like, no one else.
We want just normal people making and creating, you know, great art.
Right. And I think it can be a really, you know, a career in the arts is unique. And I think it helps young artists to see what those careers can look like, what their lives could look like. And I think it's inspirational. So I'm really excited to do that project and get some artist profiles up. And
yeah, I'll be interested to see. Sometimes I think I look at art just from a performance perspective because that's the art I think about the most. And I forget that there's people who are painting, who you see their painting on a wall somewhere and you never see that person. And you forget that art comes in so many different forms, and that's going to be a great thing. Yeah. That's going to be a really great thing. It's a great idea. So send us a message. We can't wait to feature you.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, and so that's pretty much it as far as the blog is concerned. We're just going to keep, you know, trying to be consistent and bring you content. And
just, you know, like you should be doing, we're trying to do the best we can. This is a labor of love, and you know, if you like we did ever lose track and get off, don't be discouraged. You miss a workout, you go the next day. You eat bad for a week, that doesn't mean the other 51 weeks of the year aren't healthy eating. You miss a couple weeks of a podcast, you get right back on it, nothing changes. That's what we're doing, and we love this. And we're so happy people are listening, so happy people are reading, and I'm just, you know, happy we're finally doing this. So
So I guess that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
That was the Starving Artist Blog Podcast. If you enjoyed it, be sure to subscribe on iTunes.
Also, head over to starvingartistsblog.com where we share more inspiration and ideas for you.
Want to join the conversation? Email questions and feedback to info@starvingartistblog.com. Thanks for listening.